So as we pray now for the preaching of the word, please whisper to God the little prayer for strength. Okay, kung makatulog po ako sa preaching ko, pakigisingin niyo lang po ako. Okay, just wake me up. Pastor, natutulog ka. Okay, so please ask God for extra strength and that I might continue to think clearly as I preach to you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, how great and gracious you are. Because you love your church, you love this church, you continue, Father, to see to it that your word is proclaimed faithfully. And so once more, Lord, we are grateful to you that we are here before you, sitting at your feet, ready once more to hear from you, so that you might address our hearts, you might guide our lives, and you might bring us, Lord God, to a deeper and more wonderful knowledge of who you are. Lord, please bow our hearts before you and help us to continue to grasp the depth of our sinfulness and the greatness of your grace in our lives even now. Even now. And use thy servant, Lord. Give him extra strength, Lord, Holy Spirit, that he might not get in the way of the preaching of your word. In all of this, Father, please be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So we continue with our 1 Samuel series. And we had started chapter 28 last Sunday, the moving of Saul in desperation. We, as you would see, 1 Samuel only has 31 chapters, and we are fast approaching the end of our study in 1 Samuel. I'd like to ask our intercessors to please pray for me for whatever God has planned for us as our next series. I would like to go on with 2 Samuel to complete that story of at least the first three kings of Israel. Tingnan natin po, no? But maybe I was also thinking of taking a short break from our Old Testament series and maybe study one of the minor prophets or one of the shorter epistles. Really, right now, I'm still praying about what we would do or that we would just go straight to 2 Samuel. Dahil kung, if you've read through 1 Samuel, you will see na talagang, wow, it ends bitin. Talagang bitin po, no? It ends bitin. So, we just might go ahead on to 2 Samuel. But anyway, here, what we had looked at so far, I remember opening last Sunday's preaching with the word desperation, because that is exactly where we will find King Saul at this point in the narrative of 1 Samuel. He was so in desperate straits, because on one hand, the Philistines had prepared to attack Israel again. We saw that in verses 1 and 2. Maybe they were taking advantage of the fact that Saul was getting a little older. Israel was unstable because of Saul himself. And secondly, because David was with them, or at least they thought that David was with them and for them. And so they wanted to take advantage of this to attack Israel again. And this brought much fear to Saul. So why? Because first of all, Samuel was gone. So he had no one to consult. Should I get into battle with the Philistines? Or if I do get into battle with the Philistines, what do I do? Do I have the assurance that we will be victorious? No? At the same time, we had also seen in verse 3 that earlier he had removed all the mediums and all the spiritists from the midst of Israel because of maybe the pronouncement of God through Samuel when his rebellion was likened to divination, no, which was really abominable to God. So maybe in reaction to that, tinanggal ni Saul yung mga mediums and manguhula, mga spiritista, tinanggal po niya lahat. No, so even that, to ask these pagan, heathen mediums, no, wala na rin po. And so we also saw that in verses 3 to 6, in verse 6, he tried to turn to God to consult God, but God was silent. God basically snubbed Saul. And this was part of God's rejection of Saul. Saul was now tasting the consequences of his continuous disobedience to God. So that God now would not listen to Saul. And I remember that we ended the last part of Sunday's preaching talking about the abandonment of God, looking at several instances in the Old Testament when God had declared that he would turn his back on his people, that he would abandon them, that he would reject them. And I hope and pray that as we had read those verses, we had seen just how horrible, how frightening it is to experience God turning his back on you. No, leaving you to yourself. It's as if God is saying, you've been ignoring me, you've been disobeying me, you've been wanting to follow your way, your will, then have your way. I turn my back on you. That's scary. Maybe initially you might think, ha, freedom. No. Later on, you will be brought sooner than later to a situation where you know you've reached the end of your rope. There's nowhere else you can go, no one else to turn to. And when you turn to God, he's not there. At least he's not there for you. This was the situation of Saul. This is what we saw last Sunday, which brings us to the third and last part of this chapter. As I'd mentioned to you, I would divide chapter 28 into three parts. The third part, Saul inquires from a medium. He inquires from a medium. Ayan, pag sinabi po natin medium yan, para po yung manghuhula, okay, para po yung spiritista. Okay, and dito pa lang, right off the bat, I hope none of us do that or still involve ourselves in things like this. So this is the whole last part of verse 28 from verse 7 to 25. And I'm dividing this last whole part into five parts. Okay, the first part of which I've simply entitled A Medium Found by His Servants in verse 7. So please read now with me verse 7. Then Saul said to his servants, seek for me a woman who is a medium that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor. And so here we see that because of verse 6, because of God ignoring Saul, because of Saul knocking without avail upon the doors of heaven with no one responding, in his desperation to find counsel, Saul resorted to consulting a woman who is a medium. And this is very ironic, no? Because earlier in verse 3, if you take a quick peep at verse 3, he had already removed from the land these mediums and spiritists because he knew that these were displeasing to God. Tinanggal na po niya. And now he is turning again to such a source in spite of the fact that he himself knew very well the reason for why he removed them. Okay, you'll see that in the second part of verse 3. And so because he did that, he had to order his servants to go and find one for him.
Maghanap-hanap nga kayo dyan. Baka merong hindi pa umaalis ng teritoryo ng Israel.
And indeed, they found one at Endor. Okay, remember, I showed you a map last Sunday. If this is Mediterranean Sea, if this is Mount Gilboa, where they first camp, here you will find Jezreel, and then here you will find Shunem, from where, which was the base camp of the Philistines for that battle against Israel, and you will find Endor somewhere here, to the north of Shunem. So it was only about 6.5 kilometers away from the Philistine camp. Now, I'd like you to understand that the primary use of the word medium in the Hebrew is connected to the occult practice of necromancy or consulting the dead. Okay? The occult practice of necromancy or consulting the dead. Okay, here we already have a signal that this is wrong. This is sinful as far as God is concerned because of the word occult. God does not want us to be consulting the dead, especially through those who are mediums. Pag sinabi po natin medium in English, they are channels. They are channels through which communication with the dead is made. And I will be saying a little more about this in a while. So this word is used to signify a conjurer. Yung tumatawag, okay, who profess to call up the dead by means of magic or some other demonic power, especially to give revelation about future uncertainties. So they call up the dead. Kaya nga yan ang mga manghuhula eh. Kung sino spirit ang tinatawag niyan. Okay, because maybe you want advice or people want advice for their business, what will happen next year. So they go to the manghuhula and that's what they do. No, they actually call upon spirits. Most of the time, spirits of the dead. And I would like to make clear that the Israelites were strictly, and the operative word here is strictly forbidden from engaging in such practices of consulting mediums. And the Bible is replete with passages that warn them against this. And I'd like you to see these passages. And I want you to really go to these passages because you can find, you will read the tone of God as you read these passages of prohibition. The first of which is in Leviticus. Please go with me to Leviticus. Okay. In the book of Leviticus, that's towards the beginning of your Bible. And then there you will find verse 31 in chapter 19. Do not turn to mediums or spiritists. Do not seek them out to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Okay, notice how straightforward the command is. How straightforward the command also with the reason why. Because you will be defiled. And the Lord here almost stamps his imprimatur when he says, I am the Lord your God. Which basically means
You consult only me. I am your God. And secondly, it is me, your God, who is telling you, do not. Do not. Jump to the next chapter in verse 27. Look at God's assessment of those people who are mediums or spiritists. Now, a man or a woman who is a medium or a spiritist shall surely be put to death. They shall be stoned with stones. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. Wow. Capital punishment. Capital punishment. And I'm going a little ahead of myself here, brethren. And one reason for this is because they are mediums to spirits. Spirits of the dead and or demonic spirits. And God is against that. Why? First of all, you don't trifle with the demonic world. Secondly, again, I'm going ahead of myself here. You don't consult. Because the thing is, instead of calling out to God, depending on God, you will begin to depend on these evil spirits. And so here you will see, capital punishment po ang katapat ng pagiging medium or spiritist. And again here, just by reading Leviticus 20:27, here you will see that in all likelihood, Saul compromised this. Because we're simply told in verse 3 of chapter 28 that he removed them. It is not clear whether he removed them by executing them or simply removed them from the territory of Israel. So again, if Saul compromised this command, we are not surprised because he's been doing that. Now jump with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, that's five books from the beginning of your Bibles. Deuteronomy, look at chapter 18, verses 10 to 12. Again, I'd like you to remind these verses because I'll be referring to these verses every now and then, at least citing them, if not reading them altogether. Look at verse 10. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through fire, one who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts a spell, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord. What a strong word, detestable. Kamuhi-muhi. Before the Lord. And because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. Okay, remember, Deuteronomy was given when this new whole generation of Israelites were about to enter into the promised land. And by the Lord giving this command here in Deuteronomy 18, there is a very clear implication here that the pagan nations that they were supposed to drive out believed in these people and used these people. Notice also here that, look at that phrase in verse 10, one who practices witchcraft. Look at that last word in verse 10, sorcerer. God hates these things. And yet today, one of the most popular series ever aired, and it's still popular, kahit tapos na po yung series na to, is Harry Potter, which talks about a whole school for sorcerers and good witches. There's no such thing as good witches or a good sorcerer as far as God is concerned. And yet, many have watched that series. Many young people, Love that series. Even young, as in elementary age children. At alam niyo naman po, pag naging popular po ang mga series na ganyan, they come out with a lot of toys and all of these items, no, that help promote the series. So there was a time, no, kinalokohan po yan ng mga kabataan, no, buying those hats for sorcerers, the wands, the costumes. We better be careful. And I don't care how good you think that series was. Okay, that's why I remember that when the series first came out, we prohibited our children from watching that. Because we did not want them to think that, hey, there is such a good thing naman pala as good magic, white magic versus black magic. Okay din pala, meron palang good witches and good sorcerers. But if you read Deuteronomy 18 verse 10, they are among those who God detests. And then jump with me to Isaiah 8 verse 19. Isaiah 8 verse 19. When they say to you, and this is Isaiah rebuking the people of God. When they say to you, consult the mediums and the spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people consult their God? The implication is, should not a people consult their God instead? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? Patay na nga eh, bakit mo pa gustong kausapin? So here, I would just like to establish how God prohibited the people of Israel, who were His people, and by extension, us, who are His people, and how God detested such people and such practices. And yet here we find Saul asking his men to look for one. And so they found one at Endor, which brings us now to the second part from verses 8 to 11, the medium consulted by Saul. So let's read now verses 8 to 11. Then Saul disguised himself by putting on other clothes and went, and he and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, conjure up for me, please, and bring up for me whom I shall name to you. But the woman said to him, behold, you know what Saul has done, how he has cast off those who are mediums and spiritists from the land. Why are you then laying a snare for my life to bring about my death? Saul vowed to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. Then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. Okay? So, in the first part of verse 8, we see that Saul, with two men, made his way to Endor. But he disguised himself, and he came to the woman by night. It's possible that because, as I've tried to show you earlier, Endor was just about 6.5 kilometers from the Philistine camp at Shunem. So maybe Saul did not want to be identified or seen by his enemies as he dangerously traveled from Mount Gilboa all the way to Endor. But it's also possible, brethren, that he also did not want to be seen by others going to a medium, especially after he removed the mediums and spiritists earlier. He had banned them. And so if they saw him just with two men, the king with just two men, for sure, they would have been curious and they would have asked him, saan kayo pupunta? And if they found out that he was going to a medium, then that would be bad for his image. Wait, you've banned this. You've removed them from our midst, and now you're going? And especially because he was a king to the people of God. So people now will begin to wonder, why are you not consulting our God? And so they will begin to suspect and possibly eventually see there must be something wrong. There must be something wrong in the relationship of our king with our God. And if there is something wrong, why will we follow a king whom God has turned his back to? And this is before a battle against the Philistines. And I believe this is the reason for why Saul disguised himself and went to the woman by night. You see then the first part of verse 8. And then upon arriving, he immediately commands her to conjure who he wanted to bring up for him. And he said, bring up Samuel for me. Now, notice, brethren, that in verse 9, the medium, suspicious but not yet recognizing Saul, at first resisted, expressing to the men, that is Saul and the two men, that, you might be laying a trap for me. Look at verse 9. But the woman said to him, behold, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off those who are medium and spirit this from the land. Why are you then laying a snare for my life to bring about my death? So again, she confronted them in saying, notice, this woman knew what Saul did in removing mediums and spiritists like her. And so she was wary. She was saying, baka naman sinusubukan niyo akong ulihin. Because you still find me here at Endor when I'm not supposed to be anywhere in Israel. This might be a trap. And notice how she quotes what Saul had done. And really, when you think about this, no, at this point in time, her words should have pricked Saul's conscience. Kasi kumbaga, pinaalala po dito ng medium, tinanggal nga ni Saul ito. And she understood that as a command from God. Because the command of God that we read in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy were clear. They were expressed to the people of Israel. In Leviticus, they were expressed to the original group that left Egypt. In Deuteronomy, they were expressed to the next generation, the new generation that was about to enter into the promised land. And so she knew this. She knew this as a command of God. And so in saying this, she was basically saying, Saul, in obedience to God, removed the spiritists and mediums. And this should have pricked Saul's conscience. Oo nga naman. Ako nga nagtanggal sa kanila eh. Out of fear of God eh. Tapos eto ako ngayon. In truth, brethren, Saul's own policy was a testimony to the law of God. Dahil sinunod nga niya. Which ironically, he was now flagrantly breaking. He was flagrantly breaking. And obviously, his conscience was already hardened at this point. He was not even bothered. He was not even bothered. Kaya doon pa lang sa medium, sira ng testimony niya. I wonder what his testimony looked like to the two men who were with him. Okay? You guys okay? Can I press this? Can you just read that statement one more time? Now in verse 10, Paul put the medium at ease. He put the medium at ease. Kasi siyempre, wari yung medium, di ba?
In verse 10, Saul vowed to her by the Lord, saying, As the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. Now here, late in a few moments, you will see that the woman was appeased simply by this man saying, As the Lord lives. In those days, when you bring God into the picture of your oath, it is better even than a written oath. And how quickly the woman, this medium, was put at ease so that ginawa niyang pinagagawa ni Saul. As the Lord lives. Because God was brought into the picture. And it's so sad because as I just got to think about that, how flippantly people today use the name of the Lord, use the name of the Lord in vain. You use the name of the Lord today, people, we see them in movies, in society, using the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as a curse or part of a curse or cussing. We use the name of God even in expressions that really are not acknowledging God, but they just use it. Oh my God. Oh my God. Sinasabi nga namin sa mga anak namin even since sometime before. Stop using that. Stop saying, oh my God. Okay. Because even unbelievers love to use that expression when they're surprised about something. Diba? That's part of using the name of God in vain. But here, Saul used this expression, as the Lord lives. And for me, this was strange and this was so inappropriate that Saul swore an oath by the Lord while committing this act of deep rebellion and disobedience to the Lord. Isn't it so ironic? You're calling upon God, you bringing God into the picture of this oath, while at the same time causing this woman to sin for you, and at the same time you sinning against the command of God not to consult mediums and spiritists and those who call upon the dead. Pinasok pa niya ang pangalan ng Panginoon. This is how far gone this guy is. This is how hard his conscience was. Kinamit pa niya ang pangalan ng Panginoon. Rebelde na nga siya, hindi ba? And now read verse 11. Then the woman said, Whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, Bring up Samuel from me. Wow. This request shows not only the height of Saul's desperation, but also the absence of Saul's fear of God. Ito na. Because at the last moment, he still could have changed your mind. Who do you want me to bring up? If he was convicted, he said, never mind, forget it. Cancel all of this. This is wrong. I'm sinning. But no, the moment he commanded the woman to bring up Samuel, there he was. He now completely committed this sin. He was not just desperate. There was no longer any fear of God. And if I might add, he did not even show respect for Samuel by having him called up. Which brings us to the next part. Samuel conjured by the medium from verses 12 to 14. So please read with me 12 to 14. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, Why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. The king said to her, Do not be afraid. But what do you see? And the woman said to Saul, I see a divine being coming up out of the earth. And he said to her, What is his form? And she said, An old man is coming up and he is wrapped with a robe. And Saul knew that it was Samuel, and he bowed with his face to the ground and did homage.
Now, this is a very important part in this scene because it brings up so many questions, brethren. And I believe that the first question that begs to be asked is this: did the medium of Endor really conjure up the dead prophet Samuel? In fact, many channelers today, many trans mediums today, many who conduct seances, alam niyo yung mga seance, no? Ito yung mga session kung saan may medium, yung isang buong pamilya doon, gagamitin yung medium para tawagin yung kanilang kamag-anak na namatay. Creepy. And this is a passage that these people, channelers, mediums, those who conduct seances, cite as evidence that communication with the dead is possible and even acceptable. O, tignan mo, ginawa nga yan eh. No, of course, obviously, hindi nagbabasa ng mga Bible ang mga ito. They don't read the Bible. They don't read from Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Isaiah, for example. And they just pick up a story like this and say, it's in the Bible nga eh. And so they use this. And the question is, did the medium of Endor really conjure up the dead prophet Samuel? And here scholars disagree on the answer to this question. But taking it at face value, here we see that the Bible seems to suggest that she did. It seems to suggest that she did. But with the result, she did not at all expect. And in fact, I want you to see her reaction in verse 12 because this tells us something about what on earth was happening here. We can presume, brethren, that as a medium, she drew on the demonic powers of necromancy. And she would use this in regular practice. And so we can presume that she used these demonic powers calling up the apparition of Samuel. However, brethren, okay, again, take note, demonic powers. God does not give this to his people because God prohibits this kind of communication with the spirit world. So we can presume that she drew on these demonic powers. But something happened here. Okay na po ba? Sige, just read it one more time. No? Because when you begin to read verse 12, there you will see that she was so startled by the actual appearance of Samuel that she shrieked. Napasigaw siya. So she was expecting to conjure a spirit, an apparition of Samuel. But when the real Samuel spirit showed up, she was so startled, she cried out, ano to? And immediately she realized that her visitor in disguise was none other than Saul. So that in verse 13, if you read that after Saul assured her safety, sabi niya, do not be afraid and ask her what she saw. She said, I see a divine being coming up out of the earth. The Hebrew word translated divine being in the NASB can be translated God with a small g, the way the ESV translates that, or spirit with a small s. And then when you begin to read verse 14, read now verse 14 with me. When Saul asked her to describe his appearance, she described him as an old man wrapped with a robe. And look at the last part of verse 14. Saul immediately recognized it was Samuel And what does he do? He bowed his face to the ground and did homage. So he believed that it was really Samuel na napabaw po siya, which basically means nothing at all here to God and even to Samuel. You're trying to show respect to me now when you called me up from the dead? Didn't you even respect my spirit at rest? Now, I would like to make clear, brethren, that this appearance, together what Samuel would say to Saul later on, and we will see this in verses 16 to 19, suggests that Saul was indeed speaking with Samuel. Because there are some scholars who say this was not really Samuel. This was just something, a spirit, kasi nga, conjurer, eh, di ba, medium. This was a demonic spirit who changed his appearance to look like Samuel to speak to Saul. Because it is not allowed by God, by his people to speak or to communicate with the dead. And that's what they say. But again, when you look at this whole thing, here it seems to strongly suggest na talagang si Samuel nga ito. And later on in verses 16 to 19, you will read there that he was repeating key themes from Samuel's previous private conversations with Saul. And also, he correctly predicted Saul's death together with his sons. And when you look at the whole text, there is no sense from the entire text that this is not really Samuel, God's prophet. This was Samuel. And again, I mentioned to you to take note of the medium's reaction in verse 12, because her fearful reaction implies that she did not really expect to raise up Samuel. But as usual, only raise up a demonic imitation. And that's why when she saw the actual Samuel, napasigaw po siya. You see, as a medium, she knew too well that the spirits usually contacted by her were artificial or were satanic. That's why sometimes they will make up a story. Minsan, ang ginagawa niya, lalo kung mandaraya yung mga manghuhula na yan. Pag alam niyang big time yung pupunta sa kanya, magre-research pa yan. So that minsan magugulat yung mga nagpapahula. Paano niya nalaman yan? Talagang may power ito, may power. And so sometimes the spirit is artificial or worse, satanic. And somehow Samuel's appearance revealed to her that at that very moment she was dealing with a far greater power than a demonic power. Kaya po siya natakot eh. Kaya siya natakot. I'd like to read to you what the Bible Knowledge Commentary said with regard to this. Please listen to this. That Samuel's appearance, even in visionary form, was not the expected result, clearly teaches that necromancers or mediums have no real power over the dead, especially the righteous dead, but can only produce counterfeits. Can only produce counterfeits. That's why sometimes when people say, are there such things as ghosts? Ghosts of relatives who died, who are long dead. And not just I, but many other believers believe that, no, there are no such things as ghosts. Are there spirits? Yes. Demonic spirits who represent sometimes the dead. And we need to understand, brethren, that there's a reason for this. Why? There's a reason for why God does not want you or me to consult with the dead. Because we might be convinced that we don't need to consult God, we can rather consult yung ating dead daddy or dead mommy or dead lolo or lola. And there have been people who sometimes would say, "Uy ha, ipag-pray mo naman ako kay Lord, ha? Kasi nandiyan ka na sa tabi niya eh." And so, brethren, all this tells us that what happened here ultimately was the work of God, not of the medium. Because she was surprised. She did not call up Samuel by some demonic power, but rather God brought Samuel back to give a message to Saul. And what message was that? A reminder of God's rejection and judgment of him. We will be looking at that in a few moments. And not just a reminder, but also a prediction regarding his fate. And that's why channelers, spiritists, mediums cannot cite this as something that God stamps with this approval. Because this is a unique incident. This is not repeated anywhere else in Scripture. This, I believe, was part of God's judgment against Saul. Notice it was not God who was addressing Saul, but God was addressing Saul again through Samuel, his prophet. Ang tigas talaga ng ulo nitong taong ito. So it's possible God said, "Samuel, okay, give this message to him." What a stubborn and rebellious man this is. And that's why this in no way justifies efforts to contact the dead or efforts to communicate with spirits. As we had seen, God is against all such practices. Amen? Ito pa. The danger also of this is not you depending on the spirits to consult instead of on God. The danger also here is if indeed there was a spirit that was conjured, you now delve into the spirit and demonic world. Pwede magkaroon ng open door sa buhay mo. And that's why people who have dabbled with this have opened doors in their lives for the invasion of spirits like this. And we know people who are like that. Hilig sa mga huhula, hilig sa mga spiritista. Not before long, ang dami nang nakikita na hindi nakikita ng iba. We have a relative who's like that. Na kung ano-ano spirito na nakikita niya. Which brings us now to the fourth part, Saul addressed by Samuel. In verses 15 to 19. Let's read that. "Then Samuel said to Saul, 'Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?' And Saul answered, 'I'm greatly distressed, for the Philistines are waging war against me, and God has departed from me and no longer answers me, either through prophets or by dreams. Therefore I have called you, that you may make known to me what I should do.' Samuel said, 'Why then do you ask me, since the Lord has departed from you and has become your adversary? The Lord has done accordingly as he spoke through me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor, to David. And as you did not obey the Lord and did not execute his fierce wrath on Amalek, so the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will also give over Israel along with you to the hands of the Philistines. Therefore, tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. Indeed, the Lord will give over the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines.' Wow. Now look at the first part of verse 15. Samuel's first comment clearly had the tone of agitation. Why have you disturbed me? Diba? It's like you in deep sleep and then someone wakes you up and says, oh, ano ba? Bakit? Natutulog ako eh. So he was disturbed. And this is because the living were not allowed to seek communication with the dead. Hoy, anong pakilab nyo dito sa amin? In the MacArthur commentary, you would read this: witchcraft puts the seeker in contact with demons impersonating those who are being sought. Since the dead person cannot ordinarily be contacted except in this unique case. Okay? Except in this unique case. So, although the Bible never states clearly or outrightly that the communicating with the dead is impossible, as we have seen here in this unique instance, the bottom line is this: the Mosaic law sternly forbids consultation of mediums. And you better not say, that's Old Testament, that's for the people of Israel. No. That's for anyone who truly believes in the Lord. Anyone who truly believes that there are forces of darkness and demonic powers. Remember, Paul, in one of his letters to the Corinthians, said that even the devil can appear as what? An angel of light. If he can appear looking like an angel of light, he will not have difficulty looking like one of our dead relatives or friends to deceive us. And the Lord forbids this because mediums and spiritists ultimately call on demonic spirits, something that is extremely dangerous to trifle with, brothers and sisters. At the same time, it gives mediums a sense of power by being able to conjure up the spirits of the dead or other spirits. So feeling nila may power sila, well, they're being used by the evil one. In that sense, they do have power, but it is demonic power. And all of this, brethren, simply tells us that God desires that man, whom he created, looks to him and to him alone for all his needs, including his need to be guided. God doesn't want anyone. That's his original intention in creating man. That man be his man. And that God be man's God. Read now with me verse 15. And so Saul here replied, I'm greatly distressed, for the Philistines are waging war against me, and God has departed from me and no longer answers me either through prophets or by dreams. Therefore, I have called you that you may make known to me what I should do. You know what? First time I read that, this is how I felt, how actually pitiful Saul's situation of being abandoned by God. No? Kakaawa naman tong taon to. But here, you see, he seems to have forgotten that Samuel was God's prophet. Samuel was God's servant who only followed his master's lead. And this is very apparent in verse 16. Look at what Samuel answered in verse 16. Why then do you ask me? Since the Lord has departed from you and has become your adversary. If God has rejected you, why are you asking me? I am his servant. I will reject you because he's my God. If he rejected you, then I will reject you. Why are you asking me? And notice later on, as we will see, Samuel did not really give advice to Saul. Not the advice that he was seeking regarding the coming battle. Notice also here in verse 15 how self-centered Saul was. Look at the words I. Look at the words me. Repeats these words some 7 times. And notice he does not even ask forgiveness. Oh, please forgive me, Samuel. I'm so sorry I've done this, but I'm greatly distressed. No, he was just concerned about the fact that he was distressed. And then in verses 16 to 19, Samuel answers Saul, why then do you ask me, since the Lord has departed from you and has become your adversary? The Lord has done accordingly as he spoke through me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor, to David. As you did not obey the Lord and did not execute his fierce wrath on Amalek, that's in chapter 15, so the Lord has done this thing to you this day. And moreover, the Lord will also give over Israel along with you into the hands of the Philistines. Therefore, tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. Indeed, the Lord will give over the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. Wow, brethren, this definitely is not good news to Saul. This was not what he expected. And when you look at this reply of Samuel, first, he reminds Saul of God's earlier judgment in verses 16 to 18. Read verses 16 to 18. It's like Samuel was saying, Saul, have you forgotten about the things you've done and the judgment pronounced by God upon you? Ano ba? Parang nalimutan mo na ba yung nangyaring yun? Why are you surprised that you are in the situation that you're in right now, especially after compounding sin after sin against God? Saul, this is what abandonment is. Hello? Parang ganun ang sagot po ni Samuel eh. Di ba? Kalimutan mo na ba? Irineject ka nga eh. Ito yun. Itong dinadaan mo, this is what rejection is all about. And as I was meditating on that passage earlier this week, I was thinking, it could be very well this day on Judgment Day. For those who are not in Christ, the people who will be before the great white throne where the Lord Jesus as judge, no longer as Savior, will be sitting. You'll see this in Revelation 20. And many people might be surprised, especially those who have died. What's happening? Why is this happening to me? Bakit ako nandito? And that will be eternally tragic, right? And then Samuel informs Saul of God's final dealing with him the following day on verse 19. Therefore, tomorrow you and your sons will be with me, and the Lord will give over the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. Oh my goodness, what a blow this surely must have been to Saul. First, twice, Samuel repeats the words, the Lord will give over Israel into the hands of the Philistines. In one verse, and whenever something like that is repeated just in close proximity to each other, it not only emphasizes something, it also is saying that it is also implying the certainty of something. Sigurado na to. Wala na magbabago na to. Israel will be severely defeated. I will give Israel into the hands of the Philistines, which is a major humiliation, a major tragedy as far as any ruler is concerned. King pa siya. Siya ang king. Ngayon, matatalo ang kingdom mo. This was humiliation. This was rebuke from God. And second, look at the phrase, tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. That phrase simply indicates that within a day's time, Saul and three of his sons would be dead, would be joining Samuel physically in the grave. That's simply what it means, you will be with me. You will physically be joining me in the grave. Can you imagine kung meron kayong linapitan at yan ang sinabi siya, ah, by the way, tomorrow, you'll die. This is your last day. And not only you, plus three of your children. And here we see, brethren, that all of Saul's actions were costly. Look at the toll it took. I want you to open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles 10, because there was mention of this in 1 Chronicles 10, in verses 13 to 14, if I remember correctly, many of the events had come out, no, in similar events have come out in other places as well in Scripture. And if you read 1 Chronicles 10, 13 to 14, so Saul died for his trespass, which he committed against the Lord because of the word of the Lord, which he did not keep. Of course, this was a reference again to the Amalekites and all the other times Saul disobeyed. And also because he asked counsel of a medium, making inquiry of it, and did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore, he killed him and turned the kingdom to David, the son of Jesse. Now look at verse 13 there. Look at how the writer highlighted Saul's sin of seeking a medium and focusing it as if this was the last straw. This was the last straw as far as God was concerned. Tomorrow you die. Tomorrow you die. Now some of you might say, but pastor sabi niya, and did not inquire of the Lord. He did naman eh. Di ba? He did naman. Pero hindi sumagot si Lord. You know, I believe, let me just answer that later. Okay? Let me just answer that later. So as he comes to this, as he hears this answer, no wonder Saul felt into greater fear, into deeper distress in the next section, which brings us to the last section, verses 20 to 25. Saul distressed by Samuel's message. Verse 20, then Saul immediately fell full length upon the ground and was very afraid because of the words of Samuel. Also, there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no food all day and all night. The woman came to Saul and saw that he was terrified and said to him, behold, your maidservant has obeyed you and I have taken my life in my hand and have listened to your words which you spoke to me. So now also please listen to the voice of your maidservant. Let me set a piece of bread before you that you may eat and have strength when you go on your way. But he refused and said, I will not eat. However, his servants together with the woman urged him and he listened to them. So he arose from the ground and sat on the bed. And the woman had a fattened calf in the house and she quickly slaughtered it and she took flour, kneaded it and baked unleavened bread from it. And she brought it before Saul and his servants and they ate and then they arose and went away that night. Saul's immediate reaction to Samuel's message was intense fear and loss of strength and vigor. You'll see that in verse 20. At bakit nga naman hindi? Diba? This news was terrible, horrible news. And this is God, through the prophet of God, telling you what was about to happen. You're going to lose everything, even your life. Sinong hindi mawawalan ng lakas dito? If earlier in verse 5, Saul trembled greatly because of the Philistines, here his fear was intensified because of Samuel's words to the point that there was no strength in him. And add this to the fact that he had not eaten all day long. Now in verses 21 to 22, the medium seeing Saul's condition, that he was terrified, The medium also in return for Saul not punishing her as being a medium, sabi, and I have taken my life in my hand. I've taken a risk because you assured me. That's why I've taken that risk. Now offered him bread, which he initially refused in verse 23. First part, sabi, I will not eat. But then in the last part of verse 23, all the way to the last first part of verse 25, the servants of Saul and the woman prevailed over him to eat. They were finally able to convince him, and this brought the woman to prepare a fattened calf and unleavened bread, which was quicker to prepare because you, pag unleavened, wala yang yeast, so you do not need to wait for it to rise. But she must have been a super cook, di ba? Buhay pa yung baka eh, pinatay pa niya. Tapos gumawa pa siya ng steak. Okay? And she must have been wealthy as a medium for her to have a fattened calf. And so we see here that Saul and his servants ate. It's very interesting. One commentator made this observation. Sabi nga, listen, much has changed since Saul's first encounter with Samuel, when he was designated as the one to deliver Israel from the Philistines. Chapter 9, verse 16. And then he was later on treated to a festal meal by the prophet. Chapter 9, verses 22 to 24. How different. That's where he was. He was called to deliver Israel from the Philistines because he was going to be king. And they had this feast before him. Now, and I continue to read, now in this last encounter with Samuel, on the eve of his own death and the crushing defeat, Philistine defeat of Israel, Saul is treated to a fatted calf by a medium. Okay, kung sino pa yung demonic, siya pa yung nag-feed ng king's meal or a meal worthy of a king to him. And this is so tragic, brethren, as I read this, because this was a meal fit for a king, but it was also Saul's last supper before leaving this life. At ang nagsilbi pa sa kanya was an instrument of Satan. So we can only imagine the tremendous heaviness as Saul and his men arose and went away that night. We can only imagine the tremendous heaviness their hearts carried as they awaited the doom that would come upon them the next day. And I'm almost sure that these two men died with Saul because they were part of Saul's sin in consulting a medium. Allow me now to close this. Surely our hearts go out in pity towards Saul. Diba? I don't think there's anyone here who's saying in his heart, bebuti nga Saul. Our hearts go out in pity towards Saul. And yet, we need to remember that he brought all of this on himself. You see, God will judge sin. And sin, when committed, is always committed by choice. It is always committed by choice. And this was what I wanted to say a little earlier, but I want you to think for a while with me. Imagine how things would have been different had Saul continued to obey the Lord. Diba? Imagine, he may not have been God's man, because David was, but imagine if Saul just continued to obey the Lord. In fact, imagine how things would have been if Saul had repented at the beginning of verse 28, of chapter 28. When the Philistines were massing up to battle against Israel, imagine if Saul at that point just fell on his face and come before the Lord and said to the Lord, Lord, I know you have rejected me, but for the sake of your people Israel, hear my prayers to deliver your nation. Lord, I know I deserve nothing from you. I acknowledge my rebellion and my disobedience to you. For this, Lord, I bow my face to the ground and seek your forgiveness, which I don't deserve. But you are a good God. You are the God of mercy and grace. May you have pity on my soul. Now, let me ask. If that was from the heart, with brokenness of heart, with the way you know God, do you think God would have remained silent before Saul? At the very least, I believe God may have said, go into battle, I will deliver Israel, but that will be your last day, Saul. Of course, God would never compromise his holiness, no? But God would still see, shown his grace and goodness. And that's why, as we end chapter 28, I see that Saul is a story of one who would continue to resist God and reject him in spite of the many opportunities he had to get right with God. And unfortunately, brethren, I see this happening with even many believers who are backsliding, who are now lukewarm in their hearts toward God. Many opportunities to get right with God, and they're not taking advantage of it, thinking that they have just so much time, thinking that they can get won over God. But you see, we need to understand something about our continuing rebellion against God. In the end, God will always win, and his righteousness will be vindicated from our sins by his judgment. So as we see a picture of Saul here, brethren, before I close, I pray that we ask ourselves in our hearts, Lord, show me the times when I've been stubborn like Saul. Sinasabihan na ako, kinakausap na ako, kinakounsel na ako, hindi pa rin ako nagsasubmit, hindi pa rin ako sumusunod. Many times I've heard your word. You've ministered to me through your word. I've heard clearly your message. I know it is addressing this area in my life, and yet, Lord, I have remained persistently stubborn. Just like Saul, Lord, please forgive me. This God right now is giving you that opportunity to humble yourself before him and seek his forgiveness and seek to be made right with God. Don't throw this opportunity away. And you have the power to do that through the Holy Spirit who is in you. The power to come before the Lord in brokenness and in repentance to seek his forgiveness, which he, by the way, promises to those who truly will repent. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word right now, Lord God. And I would like to ask, Father God, that you would truly minister continually to your people. So before we close, can we just sing that song that we sang earlier? It is a song of dedication. Feel the words of this song. Sing it from your hearts to the Lord.
Great God of highest heaven, occupy my lowly heart. Own it all and reign supreme, conquer every rebel.
Let no vice,
let no vice or sin remain that resists your forevermore.
Oh, thank you, Lord God. I was blinded.
I was blinded by my sin. Had no ears to hear your
Spirit.
Let your Spirit.
Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us how important our obedience is to you. How important our dependence is to be always upon you. And we thank you, Lord, that we do not need to consult mediums or spiritists or any other spirit, Lord God. Because you are our God. You are our Father. You are our teacher. You are He who teaches us in the way that we should go. If only, Lord, we would take our times of prayer more seriously and our times of consulting your word, seeking counsel, Lord, from godly men and women in the church, we would not be in want of guidance from you. And we thank you. We thank you. Lord, as we give of our tithes and offerings, please help us to give with much joy. And we pray, Lord, that we will give in faith, in love, in trust. And Lord, I ask that you will guide us in your giving because you know where the true needs in this ministry are. Thank you, Lord. Father, as we go from this place, I pray your blessing to be upon each one who had attended this service, Lord, those who had watched through live stream, and in a very special way, those who had come. Those who had come. Thank you, Father God. We love you. We bless you. May your protection continue to surround each one of us, and may we honor your name always throughout this week. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 God bless you, Paul.